been preaching on Sunday morning through the book of Exodus. And this morning we're going to be in Exodus chapter 13. And we've been looking at some fairly lengthy passages of Scripture, so we haven't been doing complete reading of the text. But I ask you to keep your Bibles open to that particular passage as we refer to verses as we go through. And Exodus chapter 13, we're going to begin at verse 17 and go on into chapter 14 through the end of the chapter. This is what we call the Red Sea experience. And you remember last week we looked at the Passover, the last of the 10 plagues. The Passover was where the death angel passed over the land of Egypt. And God had said, you must offer a lamb of sacrifice, and the blood is supposed to be sprinkled on the doorpost, upon the lintels, and those who are under the blood, whose children are under the blood, the firstborn of every firstborn son of every family, then that family, the death angel was going to pass over that family. The death angel was going to pass over that family, and that child would be spared. And as a result of that, the Egyptians lost many children, including the very son of Pharaoh himself, who was supposed to be his successor. And Pharaoh and the children of Egypt says, go, 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 we want you to go. And now they're getting ready to depart in Exodus 13 and 14. And it's interesting how God works in this particular instance. He does not work the way you would imagine. And I want you to know, we don't always understand how God works. There was a census taker who went up into the mountains of eastern Kentucky, and he said, knocks on a door, he's going to take a census. He said, the president sent us all across the country to find out how many people live in the United States. And the person looked at him, he said, I'm sorry you've come all this way. I don't have the faintest idea. Some of us don't have the faintest idea how God works either. We don't know exactly what He's up to. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't always understand His ways, because His ways are greater than our ways. Our thoughts are higher than our thoughts. As far as the heavens are above the earth, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But I hope that we can gain some insight today and understand a little bit from the history of Israel. And so I want to begin reading chapter 13, verse 17. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, even though it was near. For God said, the people might change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Hence, God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea, and the sons of Israel went up in a martial array from the land of Egypt. I'm going to stop reading right there, but let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you mean to us, and we pray that today we can have some insight from your holy word, how you want to work in our heart and life. Give an understanding of who you are and help us to trust you in faith in every way that you lead us. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Sometimes we don't understand how God works, but I want to point out three things that happened in this particular passage this morning. First of all, sometimes God lets us take a detour in our lives. Sometimes God lets us take a detour in our lives. It says here in verse 17, when Pharaoh let the people go, the direct path was from Egypt straight over the wilderness, the Sinai wilderness, into the promised land, the south end of the promised land. That's the shortest distance between two points, from point A to point B. You would think that's the way God would want them to go. But the Bible says God did not want them to go by the way of the land of the Philistines, because they had never fought wars before. They had never encountered battle before. And God was afraid that this detour would bring, I mean, if they went directly to the land of Egypt, or the land of Israel, He was afraid that it would bring defeat. And sometimes God allows us to go through a detour because a detour will prevent defeat. He allowed the children of Egypt, the Israel, to go south towards the Red Sea rather than straight over to the Promised Land. And for them, it was a detour, but that detour specifically prevented defeat. Now, you may not understand how God works in that particular way or why God decided to work in that particular way. But God sometimes lets us take detours in order that we would not be defeated in our life, because He knows we are not ready to engage the enemy. He knows we are not ready to be involved in the battle that's coming our way. And so He allows us to get a detour in order that He may prevent defeat. But not only do detours prevent defeat, detours prevent retreat. You see, later on, God's going to bring them over to the Red Sea, and they're going to go through the Red Sea, and they're going to cross the Red Sea on dry ground. But you know what happens after they cross the Red Sea on dry ground? The Red Sea closes back up. There's no way for them to go back to Egypt. And it says here in verse 17 and 18, He said, God was afraid that the people might change their minds and desire to go back to Egypt and live in slavery once again, once they engaged the Philistines. So rather than engage the Philistines, He took them on a detour south towards the Red Sea so that they would not have to fight any battles, so that He might give them a victory. God's detour prevented defeat. God's detour prevented retreat. In 1519, Hernando Cortes landed at the present site of Veracruz, Mexico. He was a Spanish explorer that came with a commitment to conquer the land for his country. Two previous Spanish expeditions had been unable to establish a settlement in Mexico. And Cortes was determined to succeed, so to make certain that his men shared similar zeal for the task, when he arrived there at Veracruz, he set fire to his entire fleet of 11 ships. There was no opportunity for retreat or return. That wholehearted devotion of Cortes has been described by historians as one of the most important elements in his success. With such zeal, he led 110 sailors and 553 soldiers to conquer 5 million people. And is an example for us as Christians. Serves as a reminder that if we will yield ourselves totally and completely, have wholehearted commitment to Christ and His cause, we can conquer spiritual darkness with the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Sometimes God lets us take a detour in our life to prevent defeat. Sometimes a detour prevents retreat. Second thing I want to say is this. Sometimes God lets us hit a dead end. They come to the Red Sea, chapter 14. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp there in front of Baal-zephon, opposite by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. They've hit a dead end. There's no place for them to go. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will chase after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all of his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. And they did so. You see, at the end of chapter 13, we see that God is leading the children of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And wherever that pillar of cloud and pillar of fire lead them, that's where they go. And as they go, they arrive to the edge of the Red Sea. And the Dead Sea brings them to a dead end. The Red Sea brings them to a dead end, not the Dead Sea. It brings them to a dead end. And now they're going to have to wait and see what God is up to. Verse 5. When the king of Egypt was told the people had fled, Pharaoh and his servants had a change of heart towards the people and said, what have we done? We've let our servants go. We've let our slaves go. So now let's go get them back. And so he gets all of his army together. He gets them to chasing after the Israelites. Verse 10. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? It would be better for us to serve Egyptians than to die in this wilderness. Look at verse 13. Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Sometimes God lets us hit the dead end. And dead ends teach us to stand. Verse 13 says, stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Sometimes it takes courage to stand. Sometimes it takes conviction to stand. The reason Moses could say to the children of Israel, stand, is because he knew God was on their side. He knew God was going to fight for them. He knew God was going to take care of them. And he knew this, God will never lead where he will not provide. He will never guide us where he will not sustain us. He will never lead us where he will not watch over us and take care of us. Wherever God guides, he provides. And Moses knew that. And so he had courage, and he said to the children of Israel, now just stand. I don't want you to fight for yourself. Don't arm yourself. Don't try to resist the Egyptians. Just stand. Stand by and watch God fight for you. Stand by and watch God fight for you. And he says to them, I don't want you to stand. I want you to see what God's up to. I want you to see what God's about to do in your behalf. Sometimes dead ends teach us to see the end of our own rope and the beginning of God's opportunities. You see, when we come to the end of our opportunity, God begins to work in our midst. When we do all we can do, and then God goes beyond that, above that, and works a great miracle in our life, then great things begin to happen, and we get God the glory. Most of us, though, how do we live our life? We do what we can do, and then we expect God to help us when we get to the end of our rope. Well, I want to say to you, just get to the end of your rope real quick and let God do what he wants to do. Because he can do great things and he will get the glory for it. If we do what we can do, we get the glory for it. But if we allow God to do what only God can do, then he gets the glory for it. And he said from the very beginning, Pharaoh's going to chase after you because I want glory for victory over Pharaoh. I don't want the children of Israel to think that they have conquered Pharaoh. I conquered Pharaoh in their behalf. And so those dead ends taught them to see the hand of God. It taught them to stand by in faith and see God fight in their behalf. Heard the story about a little child who lay down one night, said his prayers. And he said this, dear God, would you please take care of yourself? Because God, if anything happens to you, we'll all be in trouble. God, would you please take care of yourself? Because if anything happens to you, we'll all be in trouble. That's true, isn't it? If God doesn't intervene in our behalf, we are in trouble. How many of you were in the Sunday school class this morning? Were you studying Moses and Miriam and Aaron? Most of you were. Okay. Have you noticed when God's presence left, Miriam got sick? It said God's presence left, and then Miriam got the disease. She got the leprosy after God's presence left. You know why? Because God stopped protecting her. She was disobedient. She was rebellious. She took a stand against Moses, God's leader. She was critical, and God just took his hand of protection off of her. And you know what happens when God takes your hand of protection? The old devil stoops in. He sweeps in. He wants to destroy. He desires to seek, to kill, to destroy. That's his desire. And the only thing that keeps the devil at bay is when we are obedient, living for God, doing what God wants us to do, trying to serve him, trying to honor him, and his hand of protection upon us. And listen, if God doesn't help us, we have no help. We need his help. We need him to watch over us. So we need him to take care of us. Sometimes God's path leads us to dead ends. Sometimes it leads us to detours. But third, ultimately God will bring us deliverance. God will bring us deliverance. Look at verse 18. God says to Moses, he said, then the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. when I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 19, the angel of God had been going before the camp of Israel. He moved and went behind them to protect them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them to stand between Egypt and Israel. And then the Bible says, verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land so that the waters were divided. Miraculous. And the sons of Israel went through those seas, the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were like a wall to them on the right and on the left. And the Egyptians took pursuit of them. And all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen, went in after them in the midst of the sea. And at the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire cloud and brought the army of Egyptians into confusion. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. He made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." Ultimately, God will bring deliverance. Sometimes God leads us to dead ends. Sometimes He leads us to detours. But ultimately, He brings deliverance. And I want to say this. Deliverance is always based on God's abilities, not ours. It is God who brought the victory to the people of Israel. It was not the Israelites that brought victory for themselves. It was God who gave them the victory. It was God that gave them the victory. Are you struggling with an impossible task? Don't give up just because people tell you it's impossible. It can't be done. Think about almost every great invention or idea started that way. Listen to this. When trains were first invented, several experts agreed that if a train went at a frightful speed of 15 miles an hour, the passengers would get nosebleed and they would suffocate when they went through tunnels. Can't be done. If you go through more than 15 miles an hour, you're going to have nosebleeds, and when you go through the tunnels through the mountains, you're going to suffocate to death. Don't do it. Don't even try to do it. Imagine today where our country would be if they'd listened to that advice. In 1881, the New York YMCA announced typing lessons for women. Novel idea. Protests, however, were made on the grounds that the female constitution would break down under the strain. You poor women just can't stand to type. Where would our computer literate world be today without women who learned to type and without men who learned to type? When the telephone was first invented, Joshua Coppersmith was arrested in Boston for trying to sell stock in a company that would build them. The expert said that any well-informed person will know it's impossible to transmit human voice over a wire. Over and over again, people tell us, it can't be done, it can't be done, it can't be done. And when it comes to God's vocabulary, I've said this before, I said it not too long ago on Wednesday night. There's one phrase in our vocabulary we ought to just erase. We can't do it. We can say we can't do it, but we need to add to that. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. But when we say as a church, we can't do that, you know what we're saying? We're saying God can't do that. We're saying God can't do that. God can't give us the victory. God can't do that. And we're saying more about God's ability than about our ability. We need to understand that God wants to give us a great victory, but we must believe Him and trust Him and walk with Him in faith. Deliverance is based on God's abilities, not ours, but it's also based on God's opportunities. Verse 21 says, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. Moses stretched out his hand, but it was God that brought the wind. It was God that swept the sea back by a strong east wind. It is God that took the opportunity. He told Moses what to do. He said, Moses, put your rod out over the sea. But it is God that took the opportunity. And He took the east wind and He swept the sea back So the wall of water on the right, wall of water on the left, and the people went through on dry ground. Deliverance is based on God's opportunities, not ours. It's based on His leading, His guiding, not ours. I want to conclude with this. How do we perceive God when we hit detours or dead ends in our life? Years ago, a little girl was riding on one of those trains I was talking about with her family, and it was one of those sleeping cars. This was years ago, and it was one of those sleeping cars where it's sort of a community car. You go back and you have a place to sit and ride, but during the night you can go back and sleep, and there's like bunk beds back there. And the only thing that separates your car from, or your bed from other beds is just a little drape. And they were sleeping in the sleeping car, and the little girl was on the top bunk all by herself, and her mom was underneath her. But mom kept assuring her that she was right below her, not to worry, not to be afraid, that God would look after her. She said, "Don't be frightened. I'm right below you, and God's watching over you. God's taking care of you." But as the darkness became darker and darker, the little girl got scared, and she said, "Mommy, are you there?" And her mother replied, "Yes, dear. I'm here, don't worry." A few minutes passed, and she said, "Dad, are you there?" And Dad let it be known. He said, "Yeah, I'm down here with Mom. I'm right here. You don't have to be worried." Several minutes later, she asked the questions over again. "Mom, are you there? Dad, are you there?" And they kept reminding her, "Yes, yes, they're there. And God's with you as well." But after a while, she kept asking the same questions over and over again. And another passenger lost his patience. And he said, "Would you please go to sleep and be quiet?" And the little girl got real quiet. And then she whispers down to Mom and Dad, "Mom, was that God?" I wish God always spoke to us clearly. I wish God always made us very aware of what He wants to do in our heart and life. Sometimes He speaks quietly. Sometimes He leads us on detours. Sometimes He leads us to dead ends. But ultimately, He wants to bring deliverance to our heart and life. But I have this truth for you. God is always watching over you. God is always taking care of you. He never leaves you, never forsakes you. And where He guides you, He will provide for you. Where He leads you, He will sustain you. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You may not always understand what He's up to, but you can trust Him. And so I want to encourage you to trust God in your life, even when it feels like you've hit a dead end, even when it feels like there's a detour. It may be God is protecting you from something. It may be God is sparing you some heartache and hurt. But ultimately, God will bring you deliverance. Just stand still and see what God is up to. Wait upon Him. Wait upon His Word. Wait upon His guidance. Wait upon His leadership. And when He leads, you follow. Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today. We pray that You'd watch over us. We pray, God, that You would help us to understand Your ways. Help us to understand Your Word. But most of all, help us to trust You even when we don't understand. And follow You wherever You lead. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.